This is KVNF's regional newscast for Monday, September 6th, Labor Day. I'm Gavin Dahl. Telluride's Freebox sits at the heart of town. A collection of cubbies allow residents and visitors alike to discard old belongings and find new treasures. After shutting down due to the pandemic, the Freebox recently reopened. KOTO's Julia Caulfield reports.
The Freebox is free once more. Boarded up in March 2020, it was one of the first local casualties of the COVID pandemic. Now, a year and a half later, the community institution is reopened.
I couldn't be happier. I was heartbroken the day it got closed, and I had no idea I would be standing here, you know, being one of the people to open it back up. So I'm just thrilled, and I couldn't be happier. This is a dream come true.
That's Becky Boehm, Freebox supervisor. The boards came down and sat in the cubbies is over a year of discarded clothes, some broken toys, and dust. A lot of dust. It's a time capsule of sorts.
This is what was in there.
Yeah.
And March, 15th, 2020?
2020, yeah. Looks like it.
Not all of the relics are treasures.
There's some trash in here so far down here, some mismatched shoes. Yeah, definitely there's some stuff in here we wouldn't recommend leaving. Underwear, that's just, we don't need to have that.
It's a good reminder of how to love the Freebox the right way.
Well, a good motto to keep in mind is share respectfully, you know? Don't bring items here that you wouldn't wear or that are stained or ripped, you know, especially clothing-wise. Please no electronics. Trying to keep items off of the sidewalk, just in the box only. No trash. This isn't a trash dump. No paints, no furniture, things like that. Be respectful, you know? Think about it being your home. If we can all treat it and love it just the same and respect it the way it should be, I think it's going to be a huge success.
As the box reopens, a local or two peek around Pine Street to witness the moment. Local artist Brendan Burkle comes to collect one of the murals that adorned the plywood panels.
I've come for my turtle bird.
Oh, that's yours?
Yeah.
Cool. Do you want to take it?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Sweet. That's awesome. It's yours.
Sweet. Turtle bird.
Turtle bird.
Cool.
As for Boehm, she has a small pile of items waiting to put in the free box, and she's keeping an eye out as well.
A winter coat. Winter coat and winter boots. That's what I'm looking for.
The pandemic may not be over, but signs of the funky, weird Telluride are coming back to life. One Telluridian's trash can be another's treasure once more.
Next, KGNU's Hannah Lee Myers speaks with journalist Leland Rucker from thenewsstation.com about an initiative headed to Colorado ballots later this year.
Tell us about what you've got here. We're looking at some education funding.
Yeah, this is something that I find very interesting. The Colorado Secretary of State's office said last week that supporters of Initiative 25 have gathered enough signatures to secure a spot on the upcoming ballot. And that's 125,000 signatures. That's pretty good. And they said that they easily met that. And that would impose a 3% sales tax on recreational marijuana starting January the 1st and increasing to 5% by January the 1st, 2024, so in 2 years, at which point it would generate about $138 million a year. That's what they're saying. That 5% tax is in addition to the existing 15% state sales tax on recreational marijuana that's already in place. So that would add, in 2 years, 5% to that amount. And its main purpose is to help the LEAP program, the Colorado Learning Enrichment and Academic Progress Program, and that directs money toward tutoring, after-school programs, academic summer camps, and it gives low- and middle-income families a $1,500 stipend to have school-age children participate in after-school programs. And people who are behind this are touting it as a way to close learning gaps between low-income students and more well-off students. And that's gaps that many educators, parents, and advocates fear might have widened during the pandemic. And low-income students would be prioritized to receive assistance from this initiative. It's got bipartisan backing from Republicans and Democrats. Former Democratic Governor Bill Ritter is behind it. Former Republican Governor Bill Owens is behind it. And the opponents, though, say that what this is doing, it's going to help pave the way for school voucher programs to get a foothold in Colorado. Currently, there are no school voucher programs in the state, and it would give money to those who don't want to send their children to public schools. That's basically what the voucher program is all about. But in June, the Colorado Education Association withdrew its support for the proposal over concerns about how it's going to be implemented. I'm going to say the marijuana industry is generally anxious about increasing the taxes on their products for consumers. They worry about how it might affect social equity programs, for instance. And I guess my main question is, why is this falling on marijuana users?
I was wondering the same thing. Have you heard anything about that? Why?
You know, why not a tax on coffee or alcohol or frozen food or, you know, anything else that people use to pay for this? You know, I just don't want to go down the road of every time the state needs money, it says, oh, well, let the pot smokers pay for it. I just don't think that's a real good analysis. Now, even Governor Polis, recently, he was talking about trying to get rid of the income tax in Colorado, and he said, there are things you actually want to penalize in society, like pollution might be one of them. I would argue that smoking might be one of them, cigarette taxes, sin taxes, if there's an applicable cost to people. And I'm not sure that that's really the road that we want to go down when we come to this. The other main question that I have about this is that marijuana tax money is being used for education already. There's a part of Amendment 64 was a commitment to spend $40 million every fiscal year to renovate existing school buildings, constructing new buildings in rural areas that can't afford it and rural school districts that can't afford it. And that's been increased in 2018. The state legislature increased it. There's also $1 million a year going to the school bullying prevention and education grant programs, $5.4 million to early literacy competitive grant programs, $2 million to dropout prevention programs, $11.9 million to school health professional grant programs, and an undetermined amount to the state public school fund. So that's almost $60 million a year from marijuana tax money that's already going toward some kind of educational thing. So it's just a, you know, this is something that we have to think about, and I think that voters especially should consider, is this something that they really want to do or not?
Thank you for keeping this on our radar. Leland Leland is the senior editor at thenewsstation.com. It's always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Good to be here.
For KGNU, I'm Hanalei Myers.
That does it for Monday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond, as always. Happy Labor Day. I'm Gavin Dahl.